What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap, Fightful Select Q&A podcast for December 15th, 2023. Let's jump right into it. A whole lot of people saying any more updates on Sasha Banks possibly returning to WWE. So a lot of times you'll see me get frustrated with irresponsible aggregation, and that happened very heavily, specifically on Facebook with a Sasha Banks story. Sportskeeda ran an article, and nobody reached out to me or anything to clarify any language, which is always a possibility, but it got aggregated by like dozens of Facebook accounts that said that I claimed that Mercedes, Sasha, was demanding huge money from WWE. I have not heard anything of talks with WWE. What I said is I heard that the number that she's after is a lot, and if I were WWE, I would pay it. I didn't say who or what kind of talks were happening. And that type of context is very, very important. But I have not heard of any ongoing talks with them for a return or anything like that. So it is a little bit frustrating in that regard. But I haven't heard anything lately besides that the once working plans for AEW and Mercedes are no longer working plans. Any shot, the devil is Tony Khan. Tony has long not wanted to be a regular on-screen character for AEW, or at least as of a few years ago. I have not heard anything to indicate that he's the devil. Any feelings, what is Drew's program for WrestleMania? He's not signed through WrestleMania as of right now, or publicly as of right now. Do you know if Double or Nothing is returning to Vegas? Pretty sure there are plans at least through the next couple of years for it to be in Vegas. Sean, to the best of your knowledge, was there ever a good faith effort by anyone in AEW management or the Elite to make the CM Punk situation better? Okay, so I will editorialize a little bit with some educated information. I understand why the Elite didn't necessarily want to jump into forgiveness in that situation. They were accused publicly of leaking information that, to the best of my knowledge, they didn't leak, that they didn't have anything to do with. I know who told me that information, and it were people, not only that, a couple of the people that told me that information, I wouldn't say aren't fond of the Young Bucks, but aren't close with them, just, you know, have been kind of pessimistic about them in the past. So that happened. The fight happened. I understand why they maybe weren't quick to jump on the forgiveness train there. And there had been no real track record of amends being made while people were still at TV. You know, their friends were still getting kicked out of Collision and stuff like that. I get it. I feel like if that would have seen a period of time in which all the parties worked at least separately with some sort of cohesion, it would have happened. And I think eventually it will happen. I think this WWE run will probably lead to some fences being mended with everybody else. There are more important things to worry about than the wrestling things that a lot of these people were worried about. But I also see CM Punk's situation there where he thought that a misconception was being spread about him, and it appears at least some of that was misguided in who he thought released that information. But also there were elements that Punk wanted addressed completely separate of that that I don't feel that AEW did a good enough job of addressing as well. There are points on all sides of this that I agree with and disagree with. We're followed up with that by somebody saying, media literacy question. I've lived in DC long enough to know that oftentimes a leak will come from the source, but they'll tell reporters how to attribute it, i.e. a source close to CM Punk, for example, from the source, but will actually be CM Punk. I think you've said in the past you've spoken to the Bucks, I think once. Does that mean you've spoken to them once in an official capacity or once ever in your life? So I can tell you in stories with CM Punk, I will say it's CM Punk's side of things. If it's from somebody close to him, I'll say people close to him. If it's multiple people close to him, I'll say out of his camp. I have spoken to the Young Bucks, to the best of my knowledge, one time, period, ever. Unless it's like at a scrum or a presser publicly or something like that. I have spoken to them one time. I don't think I've met them in person outside of like a scrum or anything like that. I've never had a message sent via them to me, to my knowledge. And we spoke about like that one interview. The only times I've ever spoken to Kenny Omega are for interviews. I've never had a direct conversation with him outside of that. I've had one conversation with Hangman Page outside of an interview, and that was when I was interviewing MJF. So there was nobody from the Elite that I had those conversations with about CM Punk. What's going on with Hangman? He was back, now back off TV again. He's just selling this angle. Is WWE planning some kind of special edition Raw for January 1st? Yeah, sort of. It's like a day one edition is what they called it, which I think is pretty cool. I mean, they found great success with the day one pay-per-view, even though the booking of it was absolutely stupid. But it was a financial success for them. Any idea what the plans for Wardlow are? A lot of smoke that he's one of the devil's goons. I am about 95% on Wardlow being one of the goons, at least as they have been portrayed. So probably involvement in that, but there are a lot of people. So I've got somebody also asking about Holiday and Hammerstone and where they'll sign. Normally I'd say like AEW, but how is MJF not going to take time off from the injuries that he has sustained? Like, whether it be at World's End or Revolution, like, there's got to be time off coming for the level of injuries in which that guy is sustained. So that's what makes me go, okay, what's going to happen with Wardlow? And would the impact of Holiday and Hammerstone, with them being incredible talent, obviously the natural thing is to match them up with Max. How will that be affected by Max's injuries because the guy just wants to work? Could you ever see Hook joining Blackpool Combat Club? Yes, I could. I think that he would be a good fit. And I think it would give him some more edge as well. Any indications YTK is against split rosters with talent and dedicated to specific shows? He wasn't against it per se when CM Punk was there, but that was more of a necessity than it is now. I think that right now they need some flexibility. I'm sure they've got like tiered talent internally that they want to make sure that they get at least a few of them on each show. That way they've got some marquee names on Collision or Dynamite. Any word on Sting's final match? Just got tickets. I'm pumped. Also, shout out to my friend Vicky who reached out, who has always been so supportive. She's a big Sting fan, but I was talking to her because she was going to Revolution as well, and I'm going to make sure I'm there for it. I think that he'll have a major say in who his opponent is, or opponents. Any updates on WrestleMania 41 location? So I had talked to one former employee of WWE who thought that it was locked in long ago, and pushed back on the Minnesota rumors, but Minnesota is, they're really hopeful that it's going to be them in Minneapolis. Will you guys be doing end-year awards this year? Yes, absolutely we are doing year-end awards. We have adjusted it a little bit because last year we had the voting throughout December. I wanted it to be a little more encapsulatory. Is that a word? Encapsulatory of the year? So we are going to have nominations, public nominations, for you guys, the subscribers, starting on Christmas or Christmas Eve. We'll take a look at those. We will narrow those down. And I would say the first or second week of January, we are going to have the voting. And the voting will not be like a different category every day. It will be a cumulative or a complete vote. As things stand, I think we'll probably do like a Google form or something like that, but we'll have something set up there, and we'd like to aim for sort of late January, early February for that award show, which will be myself and Denise. Any update on Big E? He has been advised by doctors to not wrestle again. He's been public about that, so it'd be a bummer, but yeah, it's very unfortunate. Is the expectation for World's End that AEW is going to reset the product and get the company to a new age? I think MJF's going to lose the title, so I mean, it'll be reset in that sense. But I don't know if there's like a firm plan for that. It was just announced, but do you have any information on the United Japan Pro Wrestling Industry Group? Yeah, that was a bit of a surprise today. There's going to be group shows, New Japan, All Japan, NOAH, DDT, Big Japan, Dragon Gate, Stardom, Tokyo Joshi Pro, and I think another company from Cyber Fight. But there are going to be joint festivals and events held. I mean, I think it's incredible. Good for them. I mean, it's like what the NWA was for for Japan. In your opinion, why do you think so many people want to see AEW fail? Because they're fucking losers and they don't have a life. If you want AEW or WWE or Impact or ROH or Lucha Underground back in the day, if you wanted any of them to fail, you're probably a fucking loser. Most likely not real, but could the lack of women time on AEW be saved by Mercedes as a storyline? No, I don't think they would call attention to that. Because I mean, and I don't think that's really a good idea to ever do, call attention to inept booking. It's best to just bring upon change. With the TNA streaming deal with Endeavor, do you think this could lead to some kind of crossover between TNA and WWE? It could, but I highly doubt it. I just don't think that WWE needs that. Genuinely curious if everything is okay with Roman Reigns. After his cancer coming back a few years ago, wondering if he's dealing with the same thing again. Not asking out of disrespect, just genuine concern. So I don't have an answer to that, period. I'll just be honest with you. I don't have an answer to that, but I will explain my process. I will not disclose like an illness or something like that unless I'm given approval to from the company, the person, or a rep from them. So or a passing. So for example, the passing of Kevin Nash's son, I was asked to do that. The LA Knight COVID thing, asked to do that. The Bray Wyatt thing, I was asked to do that. It's not something that I'm in the habit of going and digging up. I know that it is general interest for some, but I get to decide where I draw the line on things like that, and that's just somewhere where I draw the line. What happened to Hobbs and Takeshita? Are they still figured into creative, or is this the usual AEW booking where Tony loses interest after 3 weeks? I don't know that there was necessarily a big plan after the Omega stuff. And Don Callis is still mentioning the Golden Jets on TV. Great. But they've won a couple matches on Rampage. But other than that, they haven't been featured heavily. Hopefully they do get factored in, because I think it's important to keep these people cycled onto TV. Are talent like The Righteous and others who are used on both ROH and AEW under strict contracts or pay per appearance? It depends. The Righteous are signed full-time, but there are some that are not on full-time deals. Chances Ospreay wrestles at Revolution. I would say about 90%. He will be in this, well, I don't want to say in the States. He'll be working in AEW at that point. Is there a reason CM Punk got the updated theme, but Randy didn't get the new version of Voices? You know what? I'll sort of break this one on the Q&A show, and we'll do the report today. Corey Brennan of Fightful had learned a little bit about Randy Orton and a new theme being discussed as recently as last week ahead of SmackDown. They wanted the original one for his return for obvious reasons, but there was some talk between Orton and management about possibly changing it as recently as last week. It ended up getting shot down, though. It doesn't mean that it won't ever change or anything like that. But any chance one of the Creeds beats Gunther? I think that could lead to a very interesting like heel aspect of Chad Gable if one of the Creeds beat Gunther and then Gable was really pissed off about it. But, you know, right now Gable's over big time as a babyface. So maybe that wouldn't happen, but I could still see one of the Creeds beating Gunther. How far away is Dakota Kai from being cleared to wrestle? Will she play a physical role in the Road to WrestleMania storylines? She said that it would take until at least January to do that. Sean, if you were to ask the average AEW wrestler, maybe someone who isn't on TV all the time but does generally well, what their opinion of TK is, what do you think they would say? If they're on TV, they're probably in favor. If they're not on TV and they want to be on TV, well, then they're probably not. Is the AEW-WBD relationship as good as Tony makes it out to be? Kind of feels like each are on separate pages on how they see this relationship. As best I know, AEW is not in the dark about anything with that. And I have had nothing but positive reactions from WBD about AEW. They see them as a good partner, a flexible partner, and the like. And there are a lot of people asking about the WWE rumors and all that. I do know that WBED and WWE did meet. I don't know how serious that is or anything like that. There's a lot of conflicting information and people that are in the loop that you wouldn't expect and out of the loop that you wouldn't expect within those companies. So I'm going to kind of collect some information over the next few days and see what else I can learn. But I don't think that a deal is imminent. Is a future Nick Aldis versus Adam Pearce match out of the question? Feels like there's potential groundwork being laid for it. Well, I know Nick Aldis would wrestle tomorrow if they wanted him to. Adam Pearce has not wrestled like a real match since 2014. It's been 9 years. That doesn't mean that he can't. I fully believe that if Adam Pearce was given, like if they said right now, hey, WrestleMania, we want you against Nick Aldis, not only would he get ready and be prepared for that, he and Nick Aldis would have an incredible match because Adam Pearce is a phenomenal performer. I just don't think that they're headed that direction. Is Punk expected at Raw this week? He hasn't been advertised. I don't know if he's expected at Raw, but he is expected to be a regular on Raw. And by that, I mean like they're fairly often. Any news which company Sami Callihan and Mustafa Ali might end up at? I would expect an indie run out of Mustafa Ali. Sami has been a free agent for a while, so he's doing his revolver stuff right now. I don't know if he'll imminently be in any company. Any update on if the alleged February return date for Jamie Hayter is still on the cards? I had never heard anything about a specific return date. I was just told not this year. What happened to the working relationship between TNA and AEW? It just ended. They had a pretty distinct idea of how far that would go. And it went there, and then they ceased the agreement for a while. Any updates or immediate plans for Odyssey Jones? We're going to have more of an update on Sunday, but he's been on the road. There's no creative plans. He had been pitched for the Bobby Lashley Street Profits stable at one point, but I don't know if there are any imminent plans for that. He was supposed to be on the Raw brand, then they moved him over to the SmackDown brand, sort of, in that he doesn't appear on TV, but he works some live events and dark matches. Creative for Cameron Grimes seems to be unassigned and floating around waiting for something. That will be his role, unfortunately, for a lot of it. It's one of those things where his versatility and flexibility is almost a detriment because he can fit into anything. He can work as a face. He can work as a heel, singles, tag, cruiserweight, heavyweight. He can do anything. He's been teaming with Odyssey of late, though. How's the creative process work in WWE and AEW? Well, it's different. In WWE, you have your pitches. You have a creative meeting. And Triple H has the final say. For the last year or so, Vince McMahon would be able to nix that. In AEW, Tony Khan has the final say, but it can be just as simple as seeing Tony in the hallway, pitching something, and him saying, yep, it's good, we'll make time for it. I think that something about the creative process is better left to somebody who has worked throughout that process. So what I'll do is try to find some people that are available to talk about that, to talk about it on the record. What's up with Chuck Taylor? Why is he not appearing with the rest of OC's crew on Dynamite lately? He has been sidelined, last I heard. Heard any cool or interesting video game related news, be it WWE or otherwise? Remember you mentioning some recent talent scans for Fight Forever? I think 2K announcement should be happening soon. They need to get that Here Comes the Pain remaster. I wish they would get a Here Comes the Pain remaster, but I hear from 2K every once in a while to push, you know, they want their holiday games talked about, etc. I would expect some 2K23 news over the next few weeks. Virtual Basements game is one that I'm very interested in, seeing how it plays. I know that there were some people that were like, will it even come out? There's no way they have traveled and done as much work and like signed as many people to appear in this game as they have without a plan, and they're taking their time on it. And they've been working on that game since 2020. So there are people like Thunder Rosa, Ty Mello, Brian Cage, Solo Sikoa, Willow Nightingale that have all since been signed to companies, and I don't know how necessarily that will work. I'll find out some more about that, though, because it's about about that time of the year where I talk to them. Where do you think Okada will be signing? I think WWE will make a big play for them. That's where my hunch goes right now. On any given day, it might change. Can you provide some clarification on MJF's contract status? Not in an official capacity. I can tell you that he has not told one person if he has re-signed, but I assume that he does or has, and many others assume that he has, but he won't tell anybody that. It was mentioned the other day that Becky may consider going somewhere else for a $5 million deal. What would the likelihood be of her receiving an offer like that, and would WWE match? I think WWE would match, and that was just me saying, I think that's what it would take. A lot of people on Facebook report that as fact, but I think if she got a $5 million deal for reduced schedule, might end up doing it. But that's just me and a hunch. That's not a report. Any insight on why WWE and Fanatics don't do print-on-demand shirts, especially since Fanatics seems to have the type of turnaround ability for other brands? They certainly do have that ability. However, I have heard that there have been maybe some inquiries as to that with some outside companies of late. So that could be something that's in the works. Could be. Where do you think Deonna Purrazzo signs? I think that WWE will sign her as well. I think AEW will make a play for her, though. They should. Could you see Liv, Carmella, Sonya, any other women who have been off TV a while making a return at the Royal Rumble? Well, I mean, Carmella just had her child, so I don't want to, you know, say, oh yeah, rush back. You know, enjoy your family. Enjoy your new child. Enjoy all that. Sonya Deville, that would be miraculous because she has only been out like 4.5 months with her ACL injury. Liv Morgan, possibly. What was the backstage reaction to the Seth and Punk promo on Raw? I mean, there are a lot of people that agree with Seth, and there were some chuckles that he used a lot of the same terminology that Hangman did. And one person that I talked to said that, well, you know, Hangman's promo wasn't wrong. It aged really well, so it made sense for Rollins to cut the same promo. Made sense. Hey, Sean, it was a pleasure to meet you at Black Label Pro. Well, it was great to meet you, too. I had a good time there. It says, over under how many matches Punk will wrestle on Raw leading up to the Rumble. Ooh, I'd put that over and under at 2. Meaning if he wrestled over two, I'd be very surprised. If he didn't wrestle at all, I'd be surprised. Because he's working live events. I'm going to put that over under at 2 and let me know what you guys think. I've seen some clickbait headlines speculating that MJF is headed to WWE. Is there any evidence to back that up? Nope. I mean, they would generally be interested in him, I'm sure. It's just I don't know if they think they have any real shot at it. Let's say, hypothetically, WBD does get Raw. What would be the best possible alternatives for AEW? The best possible alternative would be WBD. It would be them in a non-exclusive deal on the same network that WWE Raw is on, working semi-cohesively there. That would be the best situation. Other than that, FX would be the best situation, or Fox. Eddie Kingston was really mean to Cinnamon Muffin Phil on live TV well before the workers' rights promo ever happened. Was there pushback from Phil toward Eddie at that time? Not that I've heard, and Eddie wouldn't have given a shit anyway. Eddie shows up and does his job and tries to sell tickets and pay-per-views and make interesting stories. That's about it. Are there any long-term or feuds planned for LA Knight? I think right now it's sort of the bloodline holding pattern until Royal Rumble. I could be wrong about that, but that's at least what it looks like to me. I saved a couple of these questions about the Shaza McKenzie match towards the end, so if anybody wants to skip that, I get it. I did a full podcast on it, but there's still a couple of questions. Someone says, did you get to pick your entrance music for your match with Shaza? How does that work in independent promotions? Yes, I did. My theme was Bad Baby, Babyface Savage. The reason I picked that song was because I wanted something that was very, very obnoxious. And there are few musical artists I can think of that are more obnoxious than a girl that did the Catch Me Outside, How About That thing on Dr. Phil. it was going to be Cult of Personality until CM Punk returned. I was going to troll the crowd a little bit, but that wouldn't have made a lot of sense there. I still got to do the GTS thing. But yeah, you get to pick your own theme as long as it's family friendly. I sent a copy of it. I actually did an edit of that theme because the intro was a little longer than I liked. It was about 10, 12 seconds, and I didn't want to just awkwardly have people staring at a curtain for 12 seconds, so I cut it to about 5 seconds, and I thought I did a pretty good job on that one. Someone also says, the drop toe hold looked great. Any stories with getting that down pat? So I did effectively train in reverse, like a lot of non-wrestlers do these days. I worked the spot specifically that I was going to go over. But, I mean, I had wrestled like 30 or 40 matches years ago, and I came from a catch wrestling school, but I don't want to, you know, play up like my experience or anything with training or catch wrestling. I trained enough to have an idea of what I was doing, to take care of myself physically, and to be able to talk a little bit about what I was seeing in the ring. My coaches, Jay Grooms, Brandon McLeese, among them, they were phenomenal. Like, they trained under Billy Robinson, who's one of the most legendary catch wrestlers ever. Went to train with Josh Barnett a lot. They spent a lot of time with Billy Scott, who was in the UWFI. The drop toe hold was one of the very few techniques that I got to learn from Billy Robinson directly before he passed. We were able to go to some seminars that Billy Robinson did with Billy Scott in Kentucky. And I want to say 2013 is maybe when those were. Yeah, it would have been 2013 because he passed in 2014. And a couple of the techniques specifically that I got to work on with my catch wrestling coach, Jay Grooms, along with Billy Robinson and Billy Scott, were a half hatch suplex and a drop toe hold. And we went over it, I mean, 30, 40 times in a row. And you would do it, and you would think you got it perfect, and even if you did, he'd go, perfect, do it again. Great, do it again. Looked like shit, do it again. Maybe he didn't say shit. Maybe that was me making the story better. But you drill it, you drill it, you drill it, and I was all right at that technique, and we really zeroed in on that because one of his methods on that particular seminar was find a technique that you're pretty good at and really nail it down type of thing. So I ended up doing like 30 or 40 drop toe holds to my catch wrestling coach, and then he hit me with about 30 or 40 half hatch suplexes, in which I still feel to this day. But I didn't get to spend that much time with Coach Billy Robinson, but goddamn, man, that one stuck with me, and I think it says a lot that the one technique that I worked on with him is the technique that people actually have talked about from that match to me. That I've got wrestlers messaging me saying that shit was good. Well, Billy fucking Robinson taught me that. And I'm quite proud of that because to me, that is honoring people who came before me and my coaches who taught me every single thing that I knew and helped me through that. And that means an awful lot to me. And thank you for the question. I really appreciate that. If you can't tell, I was very excited about that one. Guys, until next time, we're out.